Good evening and welcome to our evening service. Good to be able to get together again on the Lord's Day. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come into your presence again with thankful hearts. Thankful, Lord, that we can come, the privilege we have in this country, to gather together to worship our God, our Lord, our Creator, our Provider. O Lord, we pray for each one bowed in your presence this evening here and online as well. You know the hearts of each one. You know the needs. O Lord, we just pray you're working, that you would give comfort for those in need of comforting, strength for those who need strengthening, and Lord, healing. In accordance to your will, we pray for those who have physical needs there. May they know the loving arms of a God who cares and is able. Lord, we pray for your word as it will go forth, as it has gone forth, even today through the many ways, through the printed page, the airwaves, the television ministry, radio. And Lord, even as the messages will be listened to on sermon audio and many other ways, Lord, we just pray that you would continue to bless your word, for it is able to change hearts, to change lives. Oh Lord, as we come tonight, how we pray your blessing. May we learn from your word. May we be those who apply the word to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Our first hymn says, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." And what a statement that is when we think of it, really. So many areas of our lives, beginning with our salvation. But here we sing together, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus."
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found him in a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend kind as he. Take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
Amen. We're going to ask James if he would come now to read the scripture and lead us in prayer. If you would, please, James.
This evening, we will have two scripture readings. The primary scripture reading is from the Gospel according to Mark. I, however, we'll be beginning with a reading from 2 Kings chapter 5. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we will be touching upon in our sermon tonight, but I believe it is important for us to read the section of God's Word first, because it will help our main passage come alive tonight. So please look at verse 1 in 2 Kings chapter 5, and we're going to be reading to verse 7. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians on one of their raids had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord, "Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he's seeking to quarrel with me." Now please turn to the gospel according to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 45. "And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I will be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to it, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them.' But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. And people were coming to him from every quarter." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. So I'm going to ask you now to please join with me in prayer. We are here before you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We praise you and thank you for being our Savior. You have blessed us with every spiritual blessing. You knew us before the foundation of the world. You knew all our pride and our stubborn, stiff-necked nature, our broken, untrusting hearts. And yet, you still love us. You called us from death. We died to sin and we were raised to new life. You have called us to be holy and blameless before you. So we ask you, Lord Jesus, to please remind us again of how you have clothed us in your righteousness, how you died in our place, and how we have been granted an eternal inheritance with the Father of all creation. So in light of your mighty acts, your power, your mercy, your grace, your sovereignty, we bring these items before you. Father, we continue to pray that you would bring the children and youth back to Berean. Father, we've prayed this morning and it's still deep to my heart that many of these children have been gone for 2.5 years. Father, please bring them back, but also bring new children, new youth, those who are eager for the word, to hear of salvation in Christ and to give their life to you. And Father, we also think of those who are shut in, who are unable to come. Father, we pray that you would be mindful of them, that you would especially tend to them, and that they would know your loving peace and mercy. Father, we also pray for those who are ill, or those who have loved ones who are ill. Father, we pray that if it is in your will to please heal these people, but through it all, that you would be able to be glorified, that we would be able to trust you more and more, even through illness. Father, we pray that maybe the illness would also be an opportunity to share about your goodness and that your love. Father, we are seeking to have you be glorified. And we have prayed all these things to you, our Heavenly Father, because we are so confident in how you will act. We pray that you would use these prayers to please glorify the name of your Son. We pray that your Spirit would cause us to be reminded of your steadfast loving kindness. Hear the cry of our heart, O Lord. And we pray these things in your Son, Lord Jesus' holy name. Amen.
In your hymn book, Rescue the Perishing.
Rescue the perishing.
Welcome James Thomas with us this evening, and he will come now to open the word to us, please.
Good evening, Brian. It is certainly nice to see you again and to worship the Lord with you tonight. And I actually want to spend time thanking the Lord for allowing me to give me the time to study the word. This week I had an opportunity to study Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 39, which we covered in the morning, and also verses 40 to 45. And verses to 45 are what we are focusing on. And to be honest, cards out on the table, flat, This passage is one of the most difficult sections of God's Word that I know of. Once you start studying this section of God's Word, it grows. So I thought of it kind of as like seeing a bunch of black fur. You see it off in the corner. Like, okay, it's just a squirrel. But then it just turns into a bear. I was like, oh boy. Yet I am thankful that I had the time to study and to let it sit in the slow cooker of my mind. So I invite you to join with me as we look at an interaction between Jesus and the walking dead. I invite you, before we get into the Word, to pray with me. Lord Jesus, we are here tonight in worship of you. We thank you for your power and your might. Thank you for allowing us to know your everlasting grace. We thank you for the blessed ability to even call upon your name. Because once we were not your people, we were transgressors. Yet you died for us. You took the guilt, the shame, and the wrath that we deserve. It is through your blood that we are clothed in your righteousness. Through the peace of the cross, we are now your people. Our sins have been crucified, and we are given new hearts. Remind us again of your compassion and grace. Help our love for you to be an undying one. Allow your name to be lifted higher than all others tonight. Amen. So we're continuing our trek through the Gospel according to Mark. I invite you to please turn your Bibles. I believe most of you are already there. In Mark chapter 1, we're looking at verses 40 to 45. And we're going to see what happens when Jesus meets the walking dead. So look again at verse 40. Verse 40 says this, "And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.'" Now, to help better understand this verse, we actually need to understand the word leper and all the cultural issues that went with it. And for this, we're going to start by looking at everyone's favorite book of the Bible. We're going to be turning to Leviticus. So please look to Leviticus chapter 13. And I'm going to identify some key verses for us to understand. So I'm going to ask you to please look at Leviticus chapter 13. And we're going to look at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 1. And then we're going to kind of go through the chapter slowly. Just look at some verses, not spend too much time on it. So chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. So, the Lord, God, speaking to Moses and Aaron, says this, "When a person has on the skin of his body a swelling or an eruption or a spot and turns into a case of leprous disease on the skin, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons, the priests." Okay, we're going to stop there. Because this is the introduction. The next two whole chapters talk about skin infections. Okay? Like, this is a big deal to God. I'm quite not too sure at this moment why, but it is a very big deal to him. But as we go through, I think we might see why. So, I want to introduce this because the term leprosy is actually a lot more expansive than what we have today. The term leprosy is strictly defined, in other words, as Hansen's disease. Now, Hansen's disease is an absolutely horrific disease that is caused by bacteria that is treatable today. Yet this was not the case back in ancient times. I took the time, and I suggest maybe it's not a good idea, but I had to look. What does advanced Hansen disease look like? And it's horrific. It's cruel, twisted disfigurement. I mean, it's at loss to try and describe how it looks. So I praise God. I just want to take the time. Praise God that we have access to treatments to cure this disease. But now, I draw your attention back to God's word. Verse 2. We see when a person has on his skin a swelling, eruption, a spot, and it turns into leprosy, disease. Okay, we see that. But now, please go to verse 24 and 25, and probably the next page for many of you. Or when the body has a burn on its skin, and the raw flesh of the burn becomes a spot, a reddish white or white, the priest shall examine it. And if the hair in the spot has turned white, and it appears deeper than the skin, then it is leprous disease. Okay, now we need to look at verse 47. When there is a case of leprous disease in a garment, whether woolen or linen, see, the point is I'm trying to make is that leprosy is much more broadly defined back in the ancient times than it is today. If it can affect clothing, we're talking about something a little bit different. It's a little bit more expansive, probably includes Hansen's disease, but we understand that there is more going on here. See, the current definition only affects people. Yet, there's an important reason. Because Hansen's disease, in and of itself, is not actually very contagious. It just isn't. Whereas other skin conditions are easily contagious. Think of ringworm, very easy. Or scabies, very easily transmittable. See, but they are still would have fall under the same category as leprosy. So what happened, right? Because if we have some person with an easily transmittable disease, okay, I think we've been through this. I don't know, but just in case, if you haven't been missing for the past 2 years, let's think. What happens to people? Well, let's see. God's word. What happened to those back in ancient times? Verses 45 to 46 of Leviticus 13. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes, and let the hair of his head hang loose. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." And he shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So, you can imagine what happened to this man. Some time ago, he was pronounced unclean. And he had to tremble. He had in a trembling voice. You can just imagine it. He knew what was coming. He had to say, "Unclean, unclean," before the priests. He will never be able to work again. He will never be able to see his family. He will never be at home. He is effectively dead. I'm not exaggerating here. Jewish historian, first century, Josephus, writes in the work, The Antiquities of the Jews. This is what he says. I'm beginning the quote here. For the lepers, he, being Moses, suffered them not to come into the city at all, nor to live with any others, as if they were in effect dead persons. End quote. From Book 3, Chapter 11, Paragraph 3. As a modern commentator puts it, socially a leper was the equivalent of a walking corpse. Furthermore, if we look to Numbers chapter 12, We have Aaron and Miriam defying Moses' leadership. And Miriam is cursed with leprosy for a time. It was often thought leprosy was a punishment for sin. They deserved it. Now, it's important for us to not agree with the social sentiment around leprosy, but it's important for us to understand it, to kind of step into the shoes of this man who has leprosy. Essentially, enough people in the first century thought that once a person was declared unclean from leprosy, he was effectively dead and cursed from God. Now, I hope you can remember my scripture reading from 2 Kings chapter 5, the section where the king of Syria says, okay, here's a ton of money, go to the king of Israel, and you can get cured. And then what does the king of Israel do? He tears his clothes and he says, am I God to kill and to make alive that this man sends word to me to cure a man of leprosy? It's impossible. It was believed by the Jewish rabbis of the time to cure someone from leprosy was just as impossible as raising someone from the dead. Now, I hope you see what kind of impossible situation this man was in. He was effectively in permanent isolation with no one ever wanting to go near him. So you can imagine this man. He has no hope left in this world hearing about what Jesus has done. Maybe Jesus can help me. Look again at God's word. We're going to go back to Mark chapter 1. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 40. He says, he implores, he kneels before Jesus. And he says to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Implore is a strong word. Doesn't matter what language you use. It's a strong word. It betrays the man's absolute desperation. He goes to the only possible source of healing that he knows of, and he asks, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, unfortunately, the grammar of the original language is actually impossible to translate over to English, and as far as I know, to French either. But the question is framed in such a way that the man is asking Jesus with no preassumptions. He's not like, oh yeah, of course you're going to heal me, or no, this is never going to work. This is a flat, neutral question. I have no idea what you're going to do, essentially. Basically, the man just throws himself at Jesus' feet and asks for healing. Then we read in verse 41, moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. Our Lord is moved with pity for this man. This is amazing. This man has nowhere else to go, and the Lord does not reject him. He is moved to compassion. This man who has been effectively dead for who knows how long, living alone without hope, likely beating himself up every day, wondering what sin he did to deserve this. I can't emphasize this enough, that the Lord saw this man and was moved with pity. Now, something happens that no one in the first century would have seen. Like, totally, completely unbelievable here. It's kind of like inviting someone over to your house who you absolutely are certain of has bed bugs. This is completely unbelievable. Jesus touches him. The emphasis is on there. Look at the word. It says, stretched out his hand and touched him. This is impossible. This is nuts. This is like the Leafs winning the cup or something. Okay? Like seriously. Then Jesus says the absolute impossible. Because now, this guy, okay, sure, okay, you've touched him, your problem. But now, we move from the realm of crazy into not funny. It's kind of like if Jesus were to go to the grave of someone who's been dead for 4 days and starts yelling at the grave for the person to rise and come out. What happens next? Okay, so, immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. Now, someone who had never heard this before would have, like, dropped at hearing this claim. Jesus just cured a man with leprosy. Like, who can do that? It's kind of like, yeah, right, next thing you're going to tell me is the earth is round or something. Okay? Now, what is the wording? It isn't that the man went away, gradually got better, or it was a few years later that after Jesus prayed and he was healed. No. Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was made clean. See, this absolute suddenness of being healed from leprosy reminded me of Moses meeting God at the burning bush in Exodus. Exodus chapter 4. I'm just going to refer to it very quickly. The Lord spoke to Moses, because Moses is arguing with God. No, I don't want to go back to Egypt. You're going back, bud. You're leading them out. No, I don't want to. I'm not good enough. Okay, anyways, verse 6. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, put your hand inside your cloak. He put his hand inside his cloak, and then he took it out. It was leprous, like snow. Put your hand back in your cloak. So he put his hand inside the cloak and pulled it out. Behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. It is instantaneous. It doesn't happen. Only God can do this. Now, you can just imagine this man. Can you imagine this man who has just been healed being so overjoyed? Tears of joy falling down his face. Relief from years of constant, unrelenting pain and suffering. Tears of relief. I can go home. I can hug my family. Honestly, you might have thought a couple years of Zoom was bad. Think of this man. Enter into his life, and in an instant, it's over. He's healed. Yet our Lord isn't done yet. Our Lord speaks to the man. Verses 43 to 44. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. Now, I'm sorry, I have to nerd out at this point. The original language adds a lot of color to this section, to this black and white set. Honestly, I tell you, learning Greek for 2.5 years is just allowed me to step out of Kansas and to go to Oz. Like, seriously. I know, lame guy gushing over grammar on a late Sunday night, okay? But this section is extremely critical. You got to hear this. Jesus sternly warns the man. Do you see that? Verse 43. No, this is not, oh, you really shouldn't do that, honey, from your mom. No, that's not it. This is a severe, stern charge, and he sent him away. And again, the stern charge is seen in verse 44. Now, in English, I have in my translation, we see that you say nothing to anyone. Now, this section is difficult to bring over into our language because it is a negative command in the most strongest possible sense not to speak. It is a never, never, ever, ever speak to anyone about this. It is like me telling my kids, never, never, ever, ever paint the walls with, I'll let you fill in the blank. Okay? Jesus could not have got more serious, just like I told my kids. Okay? I could not have got more serious. But now we have positive commands, as in what you should do. What is the man supposed to do? The man is to go, to show, and to offer. You see that in verse 44. Jesus tells the man to find a priest and do what was commanded in the law. Now, if we look at the other gospel accounts of a man being healed from leprosy, the exact same command is given. Go, show yourself to the priest, and offer what was commanded. That's what it is in Matthew and Luke. It's there. Go and fulfill the commandments of God. Yet, how does this man react? We come to verse 45. I got to tell you guys, I didn't like this verse. I just didn't. I had it in my head. After being healed from Jesus, that the man would just listen to Jesus and do what he was told. Kind of like the man who was healed from Legion. He said, oh, can I really follow you? He's like, no, go do this. And he did it. I wanted this man to do that. Because then I could just end the sermon here and be like, okay, just be the leper. Right? You got healed, so do what Jesus says. But no, look at God's word, verse 45. But, he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places and people were coming to him from every quarter. Okay. We have the man doing the exact opposite of what Jesus has just told him to do. Like, we can't get over that. That's what God's word says. Now, I need to know, like, I hope maybe something you remember from this morning. I know it's a stretch, but look up to Mark 1, verse 38. Let us go on to the next town, that I may preach there also, because that is why I've come out. And then, verse 45. He could no longer enter a town. There's a real consequence here. He goes out, does the exact opposite of what Jesus has told him to do, and it impedes Jesus' preaching ministry. Furthermore, God's word tells us that people are now coming out to Jesus in the desolate place, the place that he was trying to find a nice quiet spot to pray. Okay. So I try to find a way to stick handle this, to make this guy a reformed good guy who just was a little excited. So what did I tell you this morning? I have to stick with God's word. I have to. I have to stick with what it says. How do I preach this? How does this work? I mulled it over for 4 days in my mind. So I just was driving me crazy. So what did I do? Well, I have a good friend at my work who's he's a brother in Christ. I've known him for about 3 years, basically since I've come up to Sudbury. And I approached him and we had a little mini Bible study at work. I told him about the passage. We looked at it. I explained my understanding, my difficulties. And he encouraged me just to accept the man for who he was. Kind of like Jesus did. So I graciously accepted his counsel and then promptly ran and asked my wife. Maybe she'll agree with me. She's my wife. However, I was again mistaken. She encouraged the man to be who he was. The man who is healed from leprosy is a man. He is human. And once I got that in my mind, it led to a humbling in my life. Because I realized, upon reflecting on the Word of God, how many times has Jesus Christ moved in my life? How many times has Jesus done the absolute impossible and made a way out that I couldn't even imagine? And yet, I go and do the exact opposite of what he tells me to do in his word. So I look again at God's word. I see myself as the leper. I see my face kneeling before Jesus, asking him to fix something. Then he touches me. He helps me. And then I have the nerve to go and do the exact opposite of what he tells me to do. Brothers and sisters, you know what I'm talking about. See, the man who had leprosy is actually a much better portrayal of humanity than I could ever imagine. He forces me to confront my own failings. He forces me to admit that I am a broken, dead, sin-infested, half-dead creature without Jesus Christ moving in my life. Yet, I want you to remember, brothers and sisters, we cannot get over. How did Jesus Christ react to this man? It's not like this Jesus was suddenly surprised by what the man was going to do. He knew exactly what this man was going to do. And what did Jesus Christ still do? He was moved with compassion. He was moved with pity. Jesus knows. He knows me. He knew exactly what the man would do. He would be exceedingly thankful, yet he did not listen. So, I wish to speak to you, brother and sister, tonight. Possibly a friend. I want you to put yourself in front of God. If you have been here carrying years of pain, years of suffering in your life, you have been eaten up from guilt and remorse over what you think is a just punishment for your sin. I want you to know Jesus loves you. He is more than willing to touch your brokenness, to heal you, and to give you peace. So I invite you, please, at this time, to give your cares to the Lord. He took all your imaginary or just punishment upon himself. He died to set you free from your diseased life. See, Jesus Christ was taken out of the camp so that you could be brought into the camp. He was pierced and rejected so that you could be called beloved. Jesus Christ rose victorious over Satan's jeers and lies which are affecting you now. Christ is victorious over this. Jesus Christ rose again victorious over death. Jesus Christ rose and stands victorious over your sin, brother and sister. So I ask you, please, to fall before Jesus and allow him to touch your heart and to fill you with compassion. Because he cares. He loves you. But now, brother and sister, we're going to move from the inside and we're going to move to the outside. And we're going to apply this text in a way that is much more difficult for us. Who is your leper? Who is the person that you would either like to see suffer for their sins, or who is the one that you know that keeps coming to you for help, but then they fall right back into disobedience? Who is this person? Who is your leper? Now, brothers and sisters, it could be a patient that you work with. It could be your coworker. It could even be your child. Who is the one that you help and falls back into disobedience? Are you still moved with compassion and pity? Is your heart going cold? Have you become so hardened that you no longer feel the love of Christ for that person? If you have, I implore you, please fall on your knees and to beg for help. I can't love these people. I can't love that person without Jesus. I need His help to love. Confess the hardness that has come into your heart, that is strangling you. Ask God to move on their behalf, to save them from themselves, because nothing will ever change in their life unless the Holy Spirit is alive and moving within them. Yet I do think there is a lesson for us all here today. The leper came to Jesus because he knew he had nowhere else to go. This man had hit rock bottom. He was at the end of his rope. He was weak. He was poor. He had nothing left to give. And yet, brothers and sisters, that is exactly when God moved in his life. This is what happens when Jesus encounters the walking dead. He is moved with pity. He reaches out and he touches me. God, help me. So I ask you to please join with me in prayer. Father God, we praise you for allowing Berean to be your standard bearer of the gospel in the Donovan. We pray that we would know your compassion and your grace in this week ahead. Please fill us again with your love for the lost. Please allow the dead to come to life, that you would pour out your Spirit and allow all of us to serve you greater. Please, Father, allow us to love you even more. And we pray this all in Lord Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
Thank you, James. It says, the great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. We've heard about that this evening. The great physicians. James come to close in prayer, I would remind you that James, Lord willing, will be with us next Lord's Day as well. So we need to pray that we might be able to gather together again at that time. James, if you would come, please.
From the letter of Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty, dominion and authority before all time, now and forevermore. Amen. May you go in peace in the week ahead.